Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.
Opera star Patricia Rosette is a true legend, and she has some advice for young performers whose careers have been disrupted by the pandemic, which she shared with us on St. Louis on the Air.
I mean, as well as some of the some people that are in their primes and are just having just this amazing career, for that to stop right now as well. I mean, it's just been a unanimous hardship, I think, for everyone involved in the arts.
What advice do you give to young performers who are struggling with that abrupt halt?
That abrupt halt. Learn a language. Learn some roles that you really want, you feel like are appropriate for you. Continue to take this time and hone your craft.
I'm Sarah Fenske. This is St. Louis on the Air. Opera, it's safe to say, doesn't always lend itself to Zoom. It's so big, big in sound, big in emotion. Our new world of hanging out on small screen feels so quotidian compared to its grand passion. So what's an opera lover to do? Well, how about catching a moonlit concert featuring some rising stars singing some of opera's greatest hits? If that's your cup of tea, we have just the concert for you. It was produced by the Nine Network, and it premieres tonight. It's called Songs for St. Louis, a concert in the commons. And here to discuss it with us is Patricia Rosette. She is Opera Theater's Artistic Director of Young Artist Programs. So, Pat, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
So your singers often perform at the Loretto Hilton Center and sometimes restaurants and banquet halls for the preseason opera tastings. What led Opera Theater to mount this audience-free concert on the public media commons?
Well, I think the plan every year is to have a huge gala in the fall, and for obvious reasons, we could not do that. And so OTSL and Channel 9 got together, and they were able to come up with this, what I think is a wonderful plan, to still have a live performance, albeit captured by video, and sort of share the art form, keep the art alive, keep the interest and the passion for this art form alive. So I think it was a wonderful idea, and we all had a terrific time, I have to say.
So I got a little sneak peek at this, and it did turn out great. I was very intrigued by the idea that you filmed it at night. It seems like something where the default would have been like, yeah, let's have this in broad daylight. What made you go for that evening look?
Well, I mean, while that wasn't my decision, you know, let's face it, most of the time an opera performance is in the evening, but you have the added benefit of beautiful lighting and able to add sort of a visual nuance that's so wonderful and appreciated. So that I think that was part of the thinking. It was also, you know, I think they closed a few of the streets around the area. I think there were just some very some logistic reasons that they had to make that choice. And, you know, I kudos to the three young artists who participated, because, you know, we started, I think, around 9-ish and went till just a little after midnight. And, you know, it started getting cold and everything, but they were troopers, and they were just so hungry to perform. And while there wasn't an audience there screaming and hollering, bravo, brava, there was the whole crew there. So there was an essence, an element of live performance that was maintained. And I think, you know, it fed all of us.
So it got that excitement that you get when you're performing in front of somebody that you can't necessarily get when you're recording from your broom closet.
Exactly. And you'd be shocked at how many broom closet recordings I've seen as of late. But yes, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. And, you know, it's I mean, something even as simple as when you're practicing, as soon as there's another person in the room, there is some element of you, if you are a performer, that starts to perform. So even better when there's a crew. I don't know, what was there, like 20 people?
Yeah, that counts as an audience these days, right?
Yeah, Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So there are three young performers in this concert. They are all so good. And I'm hoping you can tell us a little bit about Angel Riley, because I understand she is actually one of our native daughters. We can claim her as our own. What's her story? She's from Belleville?
Yes, she is from Belleville. To my knowledge, I think she still is living there. But she went it through the, this was before my time as artistic director for the Young Artist Program, but she went through the artist in training with OTSL. I think that's something that happens like when they're in high school. So she's already had an affiliation with OTSL, and so it was wonderful to accept her into the program and then obviously have her be part of this performance. You know, we couldn't have everyone do it, obviously, for obvious reasons, but it was great that she could be part of that evening for us.
Well, I want to play an excerpt of her singing. This is such a beautiful song, and her voice is so beautiful. This is some Puccini. We can always use some Puccini. This is O Mio Babbino Caro. That translates to Oh My Dear Papa. Can you set the context for us of what leads to this song here?
Oh, well, it's in the piece, Gianni Schicchi, her father, is saying, no, 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 you may not marry him. No, I say no, I say no. And she just does what every young girl has the possibility of doing to their daddy and wraps him firmly around her pinky in this piece with, you know, sort of coaxing him and begging him and being over the top melodramatic. I'm going to throw myself into the river if you don't, you know, all the trappings of that kind of situation.
That's a perfect setup for this. Let's hear the Puccini version of Angel Riley doing just that. And that is Angel Riley, as featured in Songs for St. Louis, a concert in the Commons. That premieres on the Nine Network tonight at 7 p.m. You can also catch future performances on November 22nd and November 26th. We have all the information for that on our website. That's stlpublicradio.org. And my guest today is Patricia Rossette. She is Opera Theater's Artistic Director of Young Artist Programs, herself an opera star who knows exactly what she's talking about here. And Pat, one of the things I wanted to ask you about here, it must be hard for these young performers, somebody like Angel, who's just sort of coming into her own and ready to take on these big parts, and then everything comes to a halt. Has that been really hard for the young performers that you work with?
It really has, and it affects people to varying degrees, but it's really been difficult, because just imagine, you know, you spend, this is a lifelong endeavor of training. I mean, it's a virtuosic art form that needs constant polishing. And so you spend quite a few years, even at the beginning of your career, you spend quite a few years preparing, going to university or conservatory and some of these young training programs, and just waiting for that moment to take launch, you know, to just take flight. And then for this to have all been stopped, it's been rough. I mean, it's been rough for everyone, for varying degrees, but my heart really goes out to those who are just really at the beginning, and you know, I mean, it, as well as some of the some people that are in their primes and are just having just this amazing career, for that to stop right now as well. I mean, it's just been a unanimous hardship, I think, for everyone involved in the arts.
What advice do you give to young performers who are struggling with that abrupt halt?
That abrupt halt. Learn a language. Learn some roles that you really want, you feel like are appropriate for you. Continue to take this time and hone your craft, because if you really look at what is involved, all of your time can be very well occupied. Make no mistake.
So this is a time for learning, even if it can't be a time for performing.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're all seeing so much virtual performances that are happening and virtual lessons and virtual masterclasses. And while there are downfalls to that, it keeps us all involved. And I think that is important too. But just take this time, because oftentimes when you're having a successful career, you're just scrambling for the time to do all the preparation, because, you know, you have to understand, you don't show up at the job, as it were, and then start to learn the role or start to learn, you know, that concert. You have already done that. That has to have already happened. I call it unpaid employment, because you have to have all that preparation, and it takes a while. I used to give myself anywhere from 9 months to a year to learn a role. So if you have four new roles coming up, you have to be organized in doing that. So now that we have this sort of vacancy in terms of actual engagements, take this time and learn these roles. It'll only set you ahead when things start opening back up.
That's some great advice, even for those of us who can't sing a note. So I'm making a note of that myself. And going back to this concert, Songs for St. Louis, I know it's not all opera. There's also some tunes from Broadway shows in here. Can you give our listeners some of the highlights from your perspective, what they might want to listen for?
Well, I just loved Christopher Humbert sang this piece called Make Them Hear You from Ragtime, which I just got goosebumps just now even remembering it. It's just so powerful, and it's so incredibly relevant and applicable right now. So when you hear that, you'll understand that. I mean, Some Enchanted Evening, If Ever I Would Leave You. There's this wonderful piece from the student Prince called Beloved. So there's something for everyone in this concert. There's the good old, you know, highlights from opera that you'll likely recognize, and some of these other I call cross genre pieces. So I think it's a well-balanced concert in that regard.
It does seem very accessible. There's somewhere you might hear it. Even if you're not an opera fan, you'll go, I know that piece. Oh, I love that piece. You're getting to hear it. And then there's maybe some new things you can be introduced to. It seems
exactly.
like you sort of put this together so it works for the super fan, and it also works for somebody who might not even realize how much they like opera.
The super fan. I don't know that I like that, the super fan. Calling all super fans.
Well, and yes, super fans, we do want to encourage you. This show, you are going to love this show. And this, again, this is on tonight at 7 p.m. It's on the Nine Network. And Patricia Rossette, I want to thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your expertise.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. And I hope everyone enjoys the concert thoroughly.
And Patricia, again, is the Artistic Director of Young Artist Programs for Opera Theater of St. Louis. If you want more information about when that's airing, see stlpublicradio.org for more details. And I do want to go out of the show with a wonderful selection, again, from this Songs for St. Louis concert. This is Nessun Dorma. This is another great Puccini song. This one is from the show Turandot. And this is performed at Songs for St. Louis by a young singer named Ganson Salmon.
Il silenzio che ti fa mia.
Support comes from the Missouri Forest Products Association, honoring Arbor Day on April 26th, with an ongoing commitment to sustainable stewardship and conservation of Missouri's forests. ChooseWood.com.